All right, let's get started. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Ryan Sokolowski, and I think before we get too started in the content, maybe a little post-lunch audience participation to begin with. I'm curious, I actually put a poll, I got a few answers on the Yammer feed, but how many folks here have sites built on SharePoint today? Intranet, Knowledge Portal, websites? How many of you, keep your hand up if you'd like to make that easier to manage and keep up to date on the site? How many of you have been asked or would like to have that content a little bit more personalized, directed to your audience? All right, good. Then you're in the right session. So great, I'm glad that you're here, and what I want to spend some time with you over the next hour or so is talk to you about how you can use out-of-the-box capabilities in SharePoint 2013 to deliver that type of dynamic content, that personalized content on your SharePoint websites, be that internal facing, external facing, or a mix of those things. What I want to try and do is kind of take you on a journey in doing and kind of building that for you and help you understand what the core building blocks are in the platform and the technologies to do that. One of the things you'll hear me talk a bit about is the notion of what we call search-driven publishing, and hopefully you'll understand by the end what that means and why that's really important and why that's a core piece of the building blocks here. And also, to really kind of transform and help you transform when you leave here, you know, the ideas of personalization that many of you kept your hands up, you know, dynamic, up-to-date content, adaptive content is something that you can achieve and do really out of the box within the SharePoint 2013 platform. So there's a lot of sites. Almost everybody in the room here raised their hand. There are a lot of sites people are building, websites, web content sites people are building on SharePoint. Just a few examples. The conference website that you've been using and used before was built on SharePoint 2013. There are a couple of great sessions, actually more than just these two, a couple of great sessions from customers who built .com facing websites on SharePoint 2013. One of them yet to happen, actually just after this session, a little bit later today. So definitely take a look at that. And a whole lot more. I've included in this deck some links to some case studies around other customers who built their sites. The ABT Associates website actually built on 2013, won one of the Intranet Design Awards from the Nielsen Norman Group. So people doing really, really powerful and rich things on SharePoint sites. And I personally love this website. Also happens to be built on SharePoint, but more importantly, the content that's on it is just a catalog of some of the mostly self-identified websites that are built on SharePoint in various industries, on various flavors of the platform, and whatnot. So it's something you can kind of take a look at, get inspiration for, and actually see some of the great examples of people using the technology. So I'll actually, throughout the session, I'll try and call out some of the other related sessions on topics that maybe I won't dig deep into or that other things you want to look at. Unfortunately, we're at Wednesday afternoon, so a lot of these great related sessions, hopefully you've already attended. If not, you can take a look at some of the recordings as well. So when I work with customers and we're talking about challenges and why you raised your hands in the beginning, these are some of the things that I hear personally and that we've heard from a Microsoft standpoint from our customers. The ability to build web experiences, whether it's internal facing for some of our employees, for the intranet, for purpose-built portals within our organization, for our .com site, extranet sites. People want to be able to build that rich experience, build it for all the different devices, device sizes that people are coming in and need to be connected to that web content on, but do that easily, not have to make that a massive engineering effort to be able to get that sort of rich experience. Also, the fact that we've got now multiple different audiences, different business units in our organization, different places that people go to get their work done, and to be able to not have to repeat our work, kind of recreate and multiply the content in multiple places, but instead reuse the content across different languages, across different parts of the environment or different sites, even in different languages, to be able to have that and publish that to people is not very easy to do always. And then you know, the question I asked at the beginning, and one of the things that I hear a lot about is personalizing that content. You know, getting the targeted content to the right person at the right time to make it meaningful for that person. Whether it's on the intranet and making it so it's something useful for me to go to as an employee and see the information, the news, the knowledge, the training, the things that are relevant to me, or for your customers and partners who are connecting to your web presence. When we looked at the 2013 product, I'm excited to say, and hopefully you'll agree as we go through this journey today, that we've built features in the product to try and address some of those challenges, really address the design challenges, the publishing capabilities, and engaging your users. Being able to use modern web technology, using modern web tools and markup in your SharePoint environment, being able to use, not be forced to kind of get a PhD in SharePoint designer and SharePoint design before you can build a good-looking SharePoint site. Also being able to optimize that experience across mobile devices. What I'm going to spend a majority of the time today's discussion is really in these second two pillars, around publishing of content, around engaging users with that content that you have and you have readily available. There's a bunch of great sessions. I've actually attended a couple of this week on doing rich things with the design capabilities, doing a lot of advanced adaptive, responsive design in the site. So I'm not going to belabor that in this session. Really, I'm going to focus on a lot of the core kind of publishing, reusing our content, and really delivering personalized content to people. But before I kind of pivot off of that, for those of you who have websites on SharePoint, how many of them are prior to 2013, using 2010, 2007? A lot of you. So a lot of you know and live in or have lived through the left side of that experience. Really having to learn and map whatever you're doing with the web to SharePoint instead of SharePoint adapting to you. And a lot of the sessions that others have presented around the rich web design capabilities in SharePoint to allow you to use any tool, actually start to take advantage of and use responsive design if necessary, other kind of modern web technology in the site. And that's really one pillar when people talk about adaptive design. That's one pivot on that, you know, adapting to the device that people are coming in on. But adaptive design, and there's just one of the few sessions that was here this week about creating responsive design in your SharePoint website. What I'm going to do as we go through this session now, I'd like to kind of jump into a little bit of demo and kind of set the stage for where we're going to go through the rest of the session. I've got a couple of different websites that we're going to work with. I've actually got a public-facing website for Contoso.com, our lovable entity of Contoso. I've got their public-facing website that we're going to work with, as well as an internal knowledge portal. And kind of first demo, I'm just going to walk through, kind of give you a lay of how the site's designed, some of the content in it, and then we'll start to decompose it and adjust it a little bit as we continue through. All right. So first off, we have Contoso.com. This is our electronics company that we work at, and they sell a number of different personal electronic devices. And so we've got a public-facing website. You can see it's SharePoint because I've logged in, so I see that. Otherwise, we've got our public-facing website. The rest of it doesn't look like the SharePoint that you would see internally, obviously. I've got sort of the typical type of banner advertisement, sort of the banner type view, scrolling through some of the content that I have on the page. I've got some other more specific content that I'm starting to surface, even on the homepage, some notions around customer favorites, some recommendations from the staff, and we'll return to this in a little while as well. I want to point out another piece of this. Here I've organized the content by the different product lines that I offer. I've got categories and subcategories of the content, sort of audio and the different subsections within that, cameras and so forth. If I actually click on any of these categories, if I click on audio, I see a presentation of all of the products that meet under that category. Similarly, I can kind of navigate to one of the other categories or drill down a little bit further and go into a specific type of camera. And you'll see I have kind of a similar layout of the page each time I drill into one of these categories. and I see information about the products displayed for me in this page, as well as ways to filter this content, sort of narrow down to specific things I'm looking for. It could be by price, it could be by the brand, it could be by specific features around the speed or the burst mode, et cetera, within the camera product that I'm working on here. If I actually pivot over here and look for, let's say, a tablet device, again, I see a similar layout of the content. Quickly, just get right into that page. But if I look at the ways I can filter or narrow down this content, notice it's actually showing me some different options. Here it's now aware of, the page looks like it's aware of the content that I'm actually displaying on the page, and it's showing me the attributes to filter on based on that content. So already the page is sort of pivoting around the content and showing me and dynamically showing me the attributes that are relevant here. Obviously, well, take that back. Actually, cameras more and more have hard drives and everything else, but in Contoso here, you know, hard drive size, screen size, those are things relevant to the tablets that I'm selling. If I take a look at this, we've been navigating by sort of this hierarchy. This is, in fact, leveraging the managed metadata service in SharePoint, so the ability to define my navigation structure now based on metadata. One of the really painful things that a lot of us had to deal with in the past was we had to figure out up front what the information architecture of our SharePoint site was and hope we built the site and subsite structure absolutely right and never change it. Or you built a whole bunch of custom code to build a navigation tree. So now by being able to leverage this managed metadata, I'm actually using the metadata to drive the navigation of my site. Furthermore, if I actually want to go ahead and edit this page, I want to point out something. If I hit edit page, what it's going to tell me is, hey, you're about to edit a template. Each one of these product category pages is actually all one page. In fact, I can say, and click on this, actually view the affected URLs, and I get a little view inside of what's happening here. Notice this says pages/category electronics ASPX. That's the ASPX page that we would be used to working with. But that one page inside of my SharePoint design is actually powering 30-some-odd URLs on my site. So I've got a template-based approach to designing the experience here. So now if I'm making changes, you can start to see how I'm easily able to drive the same experience within this. However, it's one page, one template design, but the controls on the page are smart enough to be able to react to the content I'm displaying on the page. So again, right out of the box, the page itself and the template of the page is allowing me to actually display custom content and custom controls, custom aspects of the user experience based on the content that's displaying. I want to pivot over now to our intranet site. And reconnect to it, apparently. Oh, that's cool. Guess a teaser of running on Azure. All right. I have credits available. While I get that connected in between, I'll show an example of that here. Always good to have screenshot backups while we connect again. So here's my Contoso knowledge portal, my intranet site. You can see this certainly looks a totally different look and feel. I've got obviously a totally different design. This is facing internally. It's an authenticated set of pages for my internal users. But a couple of things I want to point out on this site. On the left side, notice the navigation. The first set of those things looks awfully familiar. It's the navigation, the same hierarchy of products that I had on my public-facing website. It's literally driven off of the same metadata that I have on my public-facing website. But I also have other aspects of the navigation. Here I've got other parts of the business, the R&D group, aspects for HR and IT, other parts of the business and ways to navigate. So this is a sort of a combined navigation that's using some of the same metadata, same navigation, as well as appending to that. I've also got a number of different kind of related pieces of content on this page, you know, video content and so forth. If I were to navigate down into one of those product categories, if I go into the digital SLR camera product category, like we were looking at before, I actually see those same products that I saw laid out in a grid on my page, on my homepage. I see a similar set of those products. It looks a little bit different. It's arranged and showing me different kind of style and different design on the page, but it's the same content that's actually driving that. I'll show that in a moment. The other thing that's powerful about this is more of a composite page in total, right? I'm a landing page for the digital SLR cameras. It may be because I'm a sales rep who's looking to learn about kind of our product offerings. It may be somebody in technical support or whatnot needing some information about this from our knowledge portal. And notice I have a lot of related information all tied to that one category right on this page here. I'm pulling in not just the products themselves. I'm pulling in related data sheets on the page. I'm pulling in documentation. I could be pulling in blog posts or recent support tickets, all tied to that same content, that same metadata and category of information that I'm looking at. And how we're doing that, actually, from that product catalog setting, that set of products up at the top is all tied to the metadata and actually mastered in one place. I'm authoring all that content and managing it in what we call a product catalog inside of SharePoint, or a catalog of content inside of SharePoint. Any bit of content inside of SharePoint I can deem as a catalog, and that sort of promotes it as something to the rest of the environment to say this is easily reusable across multiple parts of your environment. So I have one place now. In this case, it happens to be a SharePoint list that I can author and own this content and be able to reuse it, in fact, on my public.com site and on my intranet site, or on my knowledge portal and my news intranet, or on a business unit site where I want to highlight information to finance, and that also sometimes posts up to the corporate homepage on the intranet. Be able to author that content once and be able to use it in multiple times. And even if I organize, you can see I can filter that list by the same metadata, organizing it on that metadata. And if I actually edit that list item, I have the ability to edit the different attributes. You can actually see, if I back up a second, you can see things like the language tag, if I wanted to manage different content for different language variants, as well as things like the identity, the ID of the content. Or if I go in, I can actually start editing the content even with the rich text, the rich authoring that is going to appear on the actual web page itself. So I'm not just stuck to kind of text fields or things like that. I'm authoring in a rich way. All right. So what did we see? So you're going to have to learn this slide in the next 5 minutes. Everyone take pictures, because I'm not going to show it again. Actually, I am going to show it. This is the journey we're going to go on through the rest of the presentation. What I want to focus on first is sort of the left side and the right side is really what we've seen so far. This is going to help us understand kind of the building blocks of what we're using in these sites. Kind of from the left side, we've got and seen some of the different content pieces. We had some documents, the data sheets, and some of the documentation for our products. We actually had the web pages and the template pages that we were using, a lot of digital assets, the images. You saw some videos surfaced on my homepage. So all the different aspects of content that I can manage inside of SharePoint, as well as potentially outside of SharePoint, in other repositories, other parts of SharePoint, or other farms inside of your SharePoint infrastructure. On the right side are some of the different experiences that I'm delivering that content to. We saw sort of the intranet, the knowledge portal. We had the .com site as well. And later on, we'll explore kind of even further different ways if we think about rich devices, rich applications that are connecting to our content as well. We also then looked at a little bit of the publishing aspect just a moment ago. We saw that managed navigation driving the content. And then we saw the template-based approach to designing our pages, minimizing the number of pages that I have to design, and being able to design a customized and dynamic experience of the content on that page when I need it to be. The next thing I want to drill into then is how I got that dynamic content on the page. And you might have heard in other sessions, you might have heard and seen about this content search web part. And that's really the magic that glues a lot of this together. We'll kind of take a look at this and how we now use the power of search to pull in that content and make it available. If I look at this diagram, we'll get to it in a moment, search is in the middle. I have a lot of content on the left side, and I have experiences on the right side. Search's main job, one of the core features of a search engine, is it looks at all of your stuff and knows about it. It knows about the metadata and knows where it is, and it's designed to give you stuff back really quickly. So we're taking advantage of that idea and making it part of the publishing technology with the content search web part. So let's take a look at the content search web part and log in to Azure again. Or not. All right, this is going to be fun. All right, so we'll be looking at it on the Contoso.com site to begin with. So here in my Contoso site, we saw earlier that I've got the different categories on the site here. And we saw that these were template-based pages that I was working with. If I actually go about editing this page, and this time I actually say, yes, I do want to edit the template page, you can see now I'm in the authoring experience, and I've got the different web parts arranged on my page. One of these is this targeted content search that I've named it that here, and I can go and edit this web part. And the content search web part is the next generation and has some similarities to what you might be used to the content query web part, hence the name similarity. But it's driven by and powered by search and gets over some of the major limitations of that content query web part in terms of its limitation to just visibility of content underneath it. So the content by search web part is made up of really two main things: a query to say what do I want, and the display of deciding how to present it. So let's first take a look at the query. So here in the web part configuration, I can choose to click the Change Query button. And I actually get this nice query designer, kind of wizard interface, to be able to build and design exactly what I want to pull in to my page for this particular part of the page. So you can see here some of the different pieces of it here. This is sort of the easy mode or the quick mode, and I can start with kind of a predefined query. These are some things that I can create in the environment, some predefined scoped sets of content. In this case, I could say specifically just documents or specifically just videos, let's say from the new video portal on our environment. Or it could be specifically knowledge base articles or different things like that. I can pre-configure these for my page authors to kind of automatically already predefine some scoped queries for them to start with. But then on the page, I can start to say, now dynamically from that catalog of all my content, actually pull in the relevant information. And one of the really simple ways to do this, because I built my navigation based on metadata, and I've tied my content to the metadata, one of the simple ways to do this is to restrict the content that comes back based on where I am navigated to in the site. So it's simply a radio option here to pick that as an option. I could also start to do that more in a more advanced mode. If I look at this, I can see, for example, some aspects of the query I can start to build up. I can pull information from fields on the page. I can pull information right out of the URL. I can use information from the user who's actually browsing this site. And then I can start to narrow that down based on properties of the content or properties of the information. Again, I don't have to write the code to pull out all this information. This is available to me. These are some of the items that we kind of surface right in the UI. In the documentation, there's a whole number of different other sort of special characters, if you will. You can see like this content class and other things that you can use to pull in other attributes or use more advanced query techniques. I can also choose to actually, notice in the query builder, I can see the options of actually what's coming back. So I can start to test it and make sure it actually makes sense. So I'm automatically, in this case, filtering based on the category of the content that I'm working on. If I take this a little bit further, I can actually now look at the display templates of how I'm going to display it. So first of all, in this case, I tell it how many I want to display. And then I choose kind of two options here, the control and the item template. The control template is sort of the container, the wrapper, what I want to display around it. For example, do I want some paging on the set of the results? Do I want to actually kind of lay it out, in this case, in a grid format? Do I want it laid out in sort of a slider control horizontally? That's sort of the control template that I can choose from. And then the item template, it's probably self-explanatory. Each item that comes back in the results is designed and presented in the item template. What's powerful about this, how many of you used the content query web part and became masters of XSL? I'm impressed. I'd like to actually learn from you afterwards, if you could. I don't know about you. For the few of you, raise your hands. Apparently, you can think in recursive. That's impressive. Really, really powerful, I guess, but hard to be able to do rich design and get kind of the nice looking, hey, I just want a simple slider. I want something to look good, like on that homepage of our Contoso site. It navigates through those three banner kind of ads. That's, again, just a display template. What's powerful about that, the design features we built into SharePoint, is that I can create these design templates simply with HTML, JavaScript, CSS markup. So I can actually, that's one of the things from a new task you'll probably find yourself doing a lot of, because the publishing capabilities built on this content search mechanism, you'll be building and considering a lot of display templates going forward. So you can see here I have a couple that I can use. For example, Contoso recommended product item. So if I switch the template to that, you can see it's arranging it in a different way. It's still showing the rating, but it's showing it with a smaller kind of graphical interface. I was not a designer, so that's really a bad design. But notice I can really start to get creative about it. Also, just some of the out-of-the-box templates, the notion of picture on the left, etc. But what's also cool is I can use the property mappings to actually choose which fields map to that. Again, I don't have to write kind of exporting web parts and changing the code and whatnot. It's designed right in the web part designer experience. The other one that I find really helpful out of the box is the diagnostic template. Because if you're doing that property mapping and trying to figure out which properties are coming back in search, or if there's any sort of a naming mismatch of what you think it is and what search thinks it is, this is a great way to actually see what's coming back and then be able to map that into your HTML markup into that design. So once I've created and published those different templates, now I have a way to be able to choose the display and render that in different ways. See if I have to go. All right. I think we covered off on that without having to go to our intranet. All right. So we saw the content search web part. And how to be able to start to configure and choose some of our display template and decide what content shows up on the page. We saw simply one templated page was allowing me with the content search web part to automatically and dynamically now pull the right content onto the page. So I really only author that page once, have to version that once, and I really author all the content in one place and then pull that dynamically onto the page. Again, there's some great sessions, one that's tomorrow morning that goes into more detail, and you'll actually see people kind of build some more of the display templates, build some of the query rules and queries that pull in content on the content search web part. Now let's talk a little bit about the rest of the power of the search engine. Again, I mentioned a little bit ago before, sort of we've got this content search web part, and it's using the power of the fact that search now knows about all our content, both inside of SharePoint and perhaps outside of SharePoint, and I can use that search web part to present the content on my page. One of the other things that we've done with search in 2013 is we've built analytics into the search engine. There's always been sort of an analytics engine inside of SharePoint, the usage tracking of who's clicking on what and top visitors and a few things like that. We took that and pulled that into the search engine itself so that we can make use of that more than just somebody going and looking at a report every month. We're actually feeding that into the search engine and actually driving the experience or helping you drive the experience with the search engine. We've actually shipped then a built-in recommendation engine into the search experience for you. So what's happening inside of, you know, using your site if you want to use this recommendation engine? Look at the right side to begin with. We've got a bunch of the different experiences. We have our .com site. We have the intranet site. Maybe we have some mobile apps, different language variants, et cetera. We've got lots of different sites or parts of my sites. And when people are hitting those sites, kind of using the site, we're capturing all of that usage information. And all of those usage events are fed into our analytics engine inside of SharePoint. That analytics engine looks at that, sort of a big data, MapReduce, you know, does some secret magic around correlating what's happening inside the site, looking at who's clicking on what are some of the trends between those people, some of the time-relevant information, and pulling that together and feeding that along with just the data itself, the content itself, into the search index. So now when you're pulling information out of search and presenting it on a page, you can include factors like recommendations. What might be recommended items on your page? Sort of the Netflix effect. If you like this movie, you might like another one. People who've bought this on Amazon might like something else. You get that out of the box with the recommendation engine. What's also powerful about this is it is extensible. So we keep track of a number of different usage events, what people are clicking on, what pages they're going to, etc. And you can feed in additional information into that recommendation engine. So for example, what if somebody watches a video, but is it different or matter more if they watched it to completion versus just watching partway through? Or what if somebody on your public site actually adds some product to their catalog? That shows us a higher sign of interest than just clicking on that product. Or what if they actually purchase it? I want to know that, and people who purchased one might be interested in another. What if somebody likes something on Facebook on your site? I want to be able to feed that in. So I can extend and add more detail to the recommendation engine and then use that to pull content back out. So let's take a look at some of the recommendation engine in living color. I said I was going to come back to the home page here, because if you recall, we have on the top, you know, sort of the summary level, this display template of content that I've promoted to the home page. But I've also got some other aspects of content that I'm promoting to the home page. Certainly the top level is a little bit more curated. We'll get into that in a little bit more detail. But some of these bottom items are actually dynamically coming onto the page. Here I've got customer favorites. I'm using that recommendation engine to automatically show sort of what's popular on my site right now. I've also got some staff recommendations, so now I can actually filter that down to say what perhaps taking into account some additional metadata along with what's popular. If I drill into my products and perhaps even go in a little bit further, actually look at a specific product, I want to point out a couple of things. First of all, I'm now drilled into a single product. Notice the URL is still pretty nice. It's digital SLRs and then an item ID, a appended to the URL. I don't have .aspx and other things like that. It's important because it's going to play out in how I can drive some of this automatically. But certainly I have kind of product details and relevant information, kind of the product specification. This should look familiar to you from what we had in that list that we're editing a little bit ago, or able in a screenshot to edit. But now at the bottom of the page, I've got that recommendation engine at play. I've got other recommended products by simply being on this digital camera. People are buying headphones, apparently, and USB drives to transfer their photos or something like that when they're shopping on my site. So this is automatically generated for me and will continue to evolve and be new information the next time I go in through to this site. And what I think is powerful about this is if I edit the page, what I'll see, if I scroll down to this web part, I have another content by search web part. Just a quick pointer, this is a content search web part too. This whole page design is a display template. So you can do a lot with those display templates, create the markup, and it's really separating out sort of the content authoring from the way I want to render the page. It really helps you separate out sort of content from the design, and the display template's one great way to be able to do that. But I digress for a moment. If I actually go and edit this web part, and go up to the change query, you can see this keyword portion of the query that says recommended for, and then it says URL token 1. So again, some syntax to be able to pull out the item ID from the URL without writing any code and be able to pass that into the recommendation engine to be able to use that to drive and say, okay, search engine, black box, give me the best recommendations for this. I could certainly start and leave it with this. But I could also start to append other parts of this query, if I want to be able to now start to further refine that. I could say recommended items and things that are, you know, equal sale price or on sale today. You know, start to see things that are popular and also maybe high in my inventory or other things like that. So again, I have the power of this query builder to really tailor that, but even just at a basic level, I have the recommendation engine to tailor that content. You actually, if anyone saw, you know, people who saw the keynote, if anyone saw some of the other instances, you know, talking about the new video portal in SharePoint Online that we'll be releasing, you know, they're using some of this out-of-the-box capability, you know, built on top of the analytics and the Office Graph around pushing recommended items, video content, other things like that, are built on these foundational elements inside of SharePoint. So I can do the same thing inside of my intranet, just a quick kind of view of the same type of thing. If I drill in to a page, in this case in my knowledge center, and drill in on a video, for example, again, recommended other videos based on who I am, based on what's happening in the site, kind of the popular content. Really, really simple but powerful way to start to drive the relevant content right onto the landing pages, right onto the detail pages of your sites. So I said it a second ago, I said black box. I certainly have some control to feed in information into this recommendation engine. You can see both user behavior and custom events going into this analytics engine and into the recommendation engine. But in many cases, I want to control that a little bit more granularly. I want to actually drive specific content to specific people for a given time, whether it's things like we've got benefits re-enrollment coming up, and I want to make sure people are signing up for that. Or we've got some sort of new training that we're rolling out to part of our organization, and we want to drive that information. or we've got a marketing campaign or other information where we're driving sales and other things like that to our customers and want to be able to deliver that and dynamically deliver that and control what goes down to my end users. You've seen a little bit. I showed kind of that query builder, which is powerful. But I don't want to necessarily always have to go in there and change the design of the page, kind of change the query on the page. I want to be able to drive that, kind of make a rule, kind of decide how I want to push the content out. And I want to be able to do that and empower the content owners or those site owners to do that, not necessarily make that a coding exercise or a central admin exercise or anything like that. I'm happy to say that we've built a rules engine into this capability to help you drive that site, those types of decisions and drive that dynamic content. So here on the left side, I've got search. We've got already built in the relevancy tuning, and you can choose and create different ways to say newer content is more relevant or content from certain repositories is more relevant and important to certain users. I have search already powering my ability to reuse content, and we've seen the recommendation engine. But on the right side, I have a lot of inputs coming in as well. I know who a person is. Certainly inside of my organization, I know a whole lot about a person because I've got that detail in the user's profile. But I also know things about when somebody's coming into my website, internal or external, what device they're on. You know, where it might be with more and more mobile devices, I might even know what location, where they are physically. I may know kind of where they're coming from. I can also now start to, we've seen the delivery based on the templates, and now the rules engine is where we can really start to fine-tune and target that content, where I can decide the rules and how I want to drive the experience. So let's take a look at the rules engine in action. Rule of web authoring, don't save a page if you don't know what you did to the change. All right, so we're back on our contoso.com site, since that's a site we can get to. How many of you have used things like best bets and keywords kind of in with search before? Kind of the benefits re-enrollment or whatever it has to be, I want to prioritize that. I want you to find this particular thing. Powerful, but hard to manage. You had to figure out all the different things people might be searching for and make sure to add those in. But let's start there and show sort of the query rule engine playing a role inside of that. So let's just start with sort of canonical search. Somebody comes to Contoso and they're looking for a tablet, and maybe it's my grandma and she doesn't know any better, so she just looks for an iPad. And she doesn't find any because Contoso doesn't sell any iPads, tragically. But at Contoso, I don't want my grandma to go without buying something. I want her to buy some product from me. So I want to be able to actually tailor the experience and actually get her some content that may still be relevant and find something for her that would be helpful. So I want to be able to transform that query when somebody's looking for something and actually give them relevant information. So if I go into the settings, and scroll down, I can see this query rules section. In the query rules, again, I can start with one of these sets of content that these rules would apply to. So again, I showed this a little bit earlier when we were building a query. I had certain sets of content that could be starting from when I'm building the query. So again, I'm deciding now where these rules apply. So I define these rules within the content. My set of rules I'm applying to the really well-named, most relevant set of results. But then the query rule is made up of sort of two parts. The conditions, when the rule should fire, and then some actions that should take place within the rule. And you can see I have a whole series of rules. In fact, I can order these rules. So it will actually process these rules in a sequence and figure out what rules apply and then use those to display or act upon the content. So here I actually have a rule that's sitting here waiting for me. It's marked inactive. So let's take a look at this query rule. Called it the tablet alias. And this is much like our keyword type matching in the past. So in what I've got set up here, I've got the ability, if the query somebody enters matches any one of these terms, they're looking for an iPad or a Kindle or whatever else, I can list all these keywords. So that's certainly great. But notice I can do some other things within this query rule. I can certainly say, for example, does it include some sort of an action term? So if they say, let's say, iPad for school, maybe I'm looking for and tailoring the word school to drive something. That's not one of my product terms, but be able to use that. Or, for example, when I'm looking for inside of my organization, if I'm looking for a sales presentation on a particular product like SharePoint, I may say SharePoint deck. Well, I'm not looking for a deck or this kind of thing up here. I'm looking for a PowerPoint presentation, so be able to translate that type of term. But also what I think is really powerful is this notion of things like if it matches a dictionary of terms. So I can use that to match up against a set of different terms like anything from my products or any one of my business units if it matches a particular one of those terms. So I don't necessarily have to be in the business of hard coding all the particular options. I can manage those dictionary of options. And then once I've decided, let's say it matches this rule and matches the conditions, I can then choose to decide what I should show. So for example, I could do things like promoted results, kind of a top result. Or in this case, for example, I can also even change the query that's actually being executed. So in this case, I'm taking whatever terms that you searched for and adding tablets to the query, as simple as that. And then I'm also actually changing the ordering and some of the relevance of what I want to send up to you. So in this case, now I'm also saying, if you're looking for an iPad or a Kindle, what you might be really rather after is a Surface. So I can now boost even the relevance of this. Notice I say, where the title includes Surface, I'm going to promote that all the way up to the top. So I really fine-grained control to really transform what somebody might be looking for, in this case by literally doing a search, transform what they're looking for and give them the results back. So let's make this active. And it might take a minute or two, a second or two to actually process. We'll see how quickly this version, this VM on Azure is working. I think sometimes I have to search for something else first. So there, I search for iPad or Kindle. Now I actually get results and I see my Surface device promoted right to the very top. So I actually get more than one result. I'm actually firing kind of a consolidated query, getting relevant information and pulling that back for somebody. Now that's sort of the simple example. Let's say I have a little bit more time-based. I've got a marketing campaign for some of my phones that I'm selling. I've got too much inventory or whatnot. I want to drive awareness of that. That may not be relevant to somebody when they're in here looking for tablets. It may not be relevant to somebody when they're looking for cameras, although now everyone's phone is their camera, so maybe it would be appropriate here. So let's actually take that into account. Let's say if somebody's looking at cameras, I want to show them my phone promotion. And especially if somebody's looking in here in the smartphone section, I want to highlight the fact that I've got a promotion going on. So I can do that also with a query rule. So if I go again into settings, go to query rules, here I've got a phone promotion. Let's take a look at that rule. In this case, I didn't do any of that kind of keyword matching to be able to figure that out. Here I have a little bit more based on the context of where I am. So here's some of the different choices I have to define when this rule should fire. I could say based on when it's tied to one or more specific sources of content. So in this case, you know, based on my product content that I have. And then I can also further refine the decision to say when it matches one or more of these categories. So here I've got the smartphone category, and actually let's add cameras in here. Let's say if somebody starts looking for digital cameras, that's another good time to promote our phone deal. Oops. And now I can choose to decide what's going to happen again. So I can say, for example, to have a promoted result and actually surface our promotion about the phone sales that we have. What's also powerful is this rule can be driven based on a schedule. So I can make this active, but maybe not start it until next week and end on Friday because the promotion's only running for a week. Or for benefits and re-enrollment, I want to start it and end it in the month that we have that going on. So I can easily just define the rule, set it ready to go. It'll start lighting up at the right time and end when I'm done. So if I save that and go back to the site, if I look for computers, I shouldn't see anything. That's good. If I look for a smartphone, there we go. I see my 40% discount showing up. I think I should see that if I look for a digital camera as well. So again, because I have the power of this navigation driven on the metadata, I can tie that right into the query rules. It's automatically going to feed that and to be able to change the experience for me. Now, I might want to go even more personalized. This is sort of now based on sort of the rules of targeting specific content based on sort of where somebody might be. This could be a part of my environment to one business unit, for example, or a sub-site of my environment that I'm going to target and change the priority of how I'm presenting content. But I also might want to get a little bit more granular based on who that person is. I'll be able to target a particular segment of people, be it segment of my employees or segment of my customers or people coming to the site. And I can do that as well with the query rules. In this case, you know, if I go into the searching for a tablet, I want to look at promoting the Surface device up. We've got a sale for those as well. But I want to target that on people that I know might be more interested in buying that. So maybe it's somebody that's liked similar products on my Facebook profile, or maybe it's somebody I know the sales are going great in the U.S. and maybe I want to target people from the U.S. It may be within a particular business unit that I can target that. So if I look at my query rules, here's the Surface promotion. Now if I look at the context that I'm using here, again, now I'm tailoring it. I'm saying I only want to show this or tailor the results when you're in the tablet area. Oops, keep scrolling past it. But now this third category is user segment that I can start to drive. And this, again, is tied and related to the metadata service as a way to categorize and classify sort of different user segments and use that to drive my query. So if I were to add a new segment, you can see one of the choices here I have, which is to say, if the person is using IE10, they're a fan of Windows, they're on one of a later device, maybe they'd be maybe looking for one of the new tablets we can sell. So I can do this from a device-centric standpoint. I could also, if I look at the adding a user segment term, again, I have a pointer back to the managed metadata service. And some of the things that we have inside of managed metadata, if I think about internal facing sites, intranets, knowledge portals, I've got that rich information in my user profile service. I might have what department, what part of the organization somebody sits in. And I can use that to drive this. I may know job titles, managers versus associates and other folks, and be able to tailor content specifically to that audience. Or maybe on my .com site, I can start to look at other information like where they live. You know, I could start to derive that based on, let's say, the person liking content on Facebook on my site. You know, when it warns you and says, hey, you're about to give this company a bunch of information, this is some of the way you can drive and use that information for your user segments. Or something that I can certainly get from everybody is sort of the user agent string. So I'm even using that to drive it in this demo example, where I can drive this based on kind of what browser you're coming in on and be able to show tailored content. So here I've got the IE10 user segment. And again, I'm going to promote the Surface device for those folks and activate that rule. Save that query. And if I'm searching for or navigating into the computers, I think we had it categorized under tablets. I see it. Let's try that again. I see it. No. I think I know why. I'm not using IE10. If I actually flip this, so I faked my browser into thinking I'm not, if I flip this to actually using IE10, so the browser and more importantly the site knows what I'm using, automatically I see that information, I see the promotion come up, so the site's automatically reacting to kind of who I am now, attributes about me, in this case what browser I'm coming in, could be attributes of what part of the business I'm in, et cetera, and tailor that for the rule, in this case, surfacing that type of promotion, and even, again, changing the query and prioritizing certain items up to the top. So we've painted the full picture in over the course of this. We had content that we had in a number of different locations. We, with some live, some screenshot demos, saw our content displayed on a couple of different experiences, our .com site, some of the intranet site as well, reusing some content, having very specific tailored content on one side of that, that equation. We've seen that I've got the templates, the managed navigation, and the content search web parts really driving that dynamic experience on the page. And then I'm using the power of the recommendation engine and the query rules to start to really tailor the content, choose what I want to appear, to whom, and when I want it to appear. This also transcends more than just the browser at the end of the day, too. We saw, I mentioned earlier, I can feed events into the system. I can also display this experience and use all of this platform, whether the person is coming to my site or coming to my content via their browser or via another experience as well. You see down here kind of different mobile devices on here, and that may actually include something like a rich application that I might use to drive the experience as well. So here, for example, I have a rich application that Contoso has built. It allows me to put that on my device here. And if I start up this application, I see now a custom app that's built and displaying the product catalog information, actually displaying most popular items from my site. This is actually a really easy application to build because all my content's already in SharePoint. And all of SharePoint has, and in particular, these search services that we drove the web experience on have REST APIs on top of them. So it's really easy to make a call to SharePoint and say, give me the recommended items. Or make a call to SharePoint to show me the categories. Or show me when I drill into tablets the relevant ways to refine the content or the content here. And actually notice this, it's actually firing one of my query rules to, again, promote the Surface device to the top. So again, I even have the power down to this custom application to let those query rules fire. I didn't have to build any of that logic into this app. I can build that where my content is and define the rules to drive that custom content. Now I'm really able to deliver a personalized experience or a customized experience of my content, whether somebody's coming to the browser, coming in on a rich application or another way. So I wanted to close out the conversation with some frequently asked questions when I talk to people about, you know, kind of what you saw. I want to touch off on some of these frequently asked questions, and I'll open it up to questions that you might have based on what you saw or didn't see, perhaps, in today's discussion. So first of all, from Office 365 standpoint, I'm happy to say, yes, you can do this in Office 365. We actually, not too long ago, announced and made available the content search web part on Office 365 sites. So content search web part, managed navigation is available in Office 365. There's a couple of pieces of the publishing kind of building blocks that aren't yet available in Office 365, specifically the catalog content and one other piece that I'm blanking on. Those will be coming out later this fall timeframe to Office 365 as well. So there's a great session, I think I called it out here, there's a great session, I think it was yesterday, about delivering search-driven portals on SharePoint Online. So showing and leveraging same kind of core capabilities and all of that, doing this portal development in SharePoint Online. Second block, maybe bad example today because I logged out and couldn't log back in, but yes, you can absolutely run SharePoint in Azure. Actually, this contoso.com site that we've been hitting, you saw how performant that was. That's running on Azure virtual machines. So you can absolutely do it. I actually, you know, been running my demo, and before it stopped working, had been even setting up the sites in a different set of Azure environments, all just through my MSDN account. So I had a 14-core, 8-gigabyte SharePoint box, way bigger than I could run on most laptops, available to me in Azure. So certainly from a development test standpoint, really, really powerful and flexible to design sort of a real multi-server environment inside of Azure, develop against that, use that for testing and QA, and then also for production. The SharePoint conference website's running on Azure, the Toyota website is running on Azure, and there's others as well. From a mobile delivery standpoint, again, I didn't really focus on that much today. There's some other great sessions this week. There's some built-in capabilities that we have around what we call device channels to really optimize content or show parts of the page differently for different browsers. And then you can certainly go as far as, you know, leveraging some responsive design, kind of the option du jour from a web design standpoint. You can certainly build those into your SharePoint site. The other important question that I get often, and I talked about a little earlier, I said we've got this cool analytics engine inside of SharePoint, and that analytics engine is what's helping us power the recommendation engine. But one of the questions I often get is, all right, let me get some information out of that. I want to track all kinds of different dimensions of what's going on in my site. And as of today, we don't actually give you a whole lot more than you might have been familiar with from 2010. From an analytics tracking standpoint. We're doing a lot with the information and keeping track of a lot of information, but today we don't really expose that to you in a meaningful way, just out of the box. There was a session, I think, yesterday afternoon that actually talked a bit about how you can actually build some custom reports on that, and there's also some great third-party providers like WebTrends and others that you can layer into your SharePoint site and get that more detailed sort of reporting oriented analytics that you need from usage tracking and driving personalization and so forth from that standpoint. So again, I mentioned a few of these sessions. Those are some call outs to some sessions. I think all of those have now all happened. No, there's one tomorrow morning, the on Azure and running it. Maybe I should have run that one. I think that one's also about high availability. I should have done that before my session. So I'll leave it at that. Any questions? If you have questions, if you could come to the mic, I can take while people are walking. I can take some questions. But thank you very much for attending.
What about setting up A/B tests when you come in for a site and being adaptive in that way?
So I wouldn't claim that SharePoint has an A/B test capability. You know, we don't have a feature that I would, you know, feel comfortable saying, yeah, this is A/B testing. You could certainly, you know, there's some of the building blocks that I showed you could use to drive a similar actions and similar experience. So, for example, I could use the query rules to target certain parts of the environment or change some of the experience based on, you know, A and B scenarios and try and capture that. It's you know, it would be more building on top of that. Often when I've looked at that, I've also, Web Trends has some great capabilities that you can layer in from kind of an A-B testing and some other of the kind of analytic-driven experiences as well. That's a good way to complement SharePoint. You absolutely can, yeah. That, so the question was, I showed the content actually had, you know, one piece of content had ENUS, kind of referring to multiple languages of content. I can absolutely do that. We've actually, one of the improvements, it's sort of built on, if you're familiar with the variation kind of framework that existed in prior versions of SharePoint, I can still use that variation framework. But the template-driven page design in SharePoint allows me to even have sort of a single URL and be able to present based on the content and based on the user, the content in their language, for example. So that's going to be, you know, part of that might be driven on building more sophisticated queries and query rules as well. Yeah, follow up? Yep. So the managed metadata, so there's a central service, which is the managed metadata service that you can have access to. And then each site collection actually has its own container of managed metadata for taxonomy that's sort of local to that site collection. So you might have seen at one point, I actually navigated and I opened the little tree for site collection and looked at that portion of it. Therefore, I can set that up centrally. So things like business unit hierarchy, product hierarchy, things like that, I might use and define centrally. And I can do that, you know, with APIs programmatically or manually through the UI, or even just like import an Excel spreadsheet in to feed that hierarchy. And then I can go in and manage, much like you saw me picking from the tree. If I go into the edit, the managed metadata, I can actually add and remove terms or add different things like multiple languages of each term, right? So cameras in another language. So it's the same hierarchy, but it shows the menus even in the right language.
The content search web part.
Yeah.
I think it has a limit of 50 items. How can we work around that?
For how many to display at a given time?
It has a hard-coded limit of only 50.
I don't know a good workaround. I wasn't familiar with that directly. It might be interesting to understand when in what scenarios you're, you know, I can imagine a few where you want more than that. But I think it's partly, you know, part of the consideration, I assume, is at least partly performance-based, right? Wanting to know, you know, what we're going to render and whatnot. I'd be happy to kind of follow up with you on that one afterwards. Okay. Well, so the question was, if you've got lots of different repositories, documents in particular, right? We've got lots of different sites with documents and things in there. And the question, is there a better way to kind of than just content types? Sure. Better for content types to overlay. First of all, you know, the more metadata, the better you're going to be at. You know, in terms of the richer the metadata you have, the more power you have with search and tailoring kind of the content, first of all. But even I showed the catalog concept. So even just defining something as a catalog, that promotes it by itself to kind of be easily available by something like content by search. So even if that library had no metadata intrinsic to it, by making it a catalog and saying, this is the product data sheet library, I have nothing but the content itself, but the fact that this is the data sheet library. So it makes it easier to at least target and say, I know I want content from that catalog pulled into my search. So that's one, you know, one simple way to think about it. But definitely, it's, metadata is still your friend, at least as you get more and more sophisticated with how do I get exactly the right content. Metadata is a good way to know what's the right content. Yeah, I mean, so search overlays all of the content inside of SharePoint. So that could include the tasks that are assigned to those individuals or the certain things they need to look at. So I could, you know, one of the ways if I wanted to build an app, you know, if let's say the tasks that are assigned to that individual are all over the place, I could use search as a unifying way to say, get me all tasks assigned to, you know, Joe and pull them into one view so I make one call from my little mobile app to SharePoint to get that and display that in a single way. So that, I don't know if that fully answers your question, but that, okay. Yep. Yes. It's sort of that, yeah, the catalog is kind of a nice way of saying, hey, here's some stuff I anticipate will be reusable. You can also go, so yeah, it does also include some capability to say, allow anonymous access to this content, you know, because it's through the catalog, for example. So yeah, there's some capabilities to kind of, you know, promote this as reusable content is really the concept. It, beyond that, it's, you know, so there's ability to do some anonymous access with the catalog and then sort of advertise it, if you will, across the environment that this is content that might be reusable. Mm-hmm. And they're not so custom list or a catalog, they're not mutually exclusive. So you could certainly have certain parts of the custom content type, certain custom lists, and then turn on a catalog on top of that or on top of certain ones to say, hey, this, it's sort of an overlay onto the any list or library. Yeah, so, and again, metadata is your friend. So any of that that you can sort of predefine is great, because that'll be all attributes. And now I can sort of further advertise this as a catalog to make it really easy to consume it in sites you don't anticipate that people might want your content. Yes, yes. The catalog specifically is not yet enabled in Office 365. Yes. I'll post it to the Yammer feed for this. I believe it's October of 2014, so in 2014. But I'll double check and I'll post it to the Yammer feed. So I don't need a catalog to be able to pull content dynamically with the content search web part and the page templates. So the catalog adds the ability to kind of say, hey, this is reusable content I think you'll want, and therefore kind of promote it. So it adds a few more pieces, but it certainly doesn't, like I might spend a little bit more time creating that set of sources to begin with. So you can, yes, yes, yes. So that, not fully on the public site of Office 365 yet. So that I'll post a link on the Yammer feed for this session. I'll post some info about the kind of the timeline for the public site and the internal site on Office 365. That work? Yeah, yeah. I think I might need to. I think we're basically out. I'll take any more questions if you guys want to come up. There might be new people here already. I'll take questions off on the side. Thank you, everybody.